So if you can turn, we're going to get into chapter 3 today in James. If you can turn to chapter 3, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. And I have NASB. That's what I'm reading from. Here we go. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man or mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So that's the text that we're going to get into today. Let me pray here. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you would be with us in spirit, Lord. I pray that your spirit would guide us and direct us into what matters about teachers and teaching. And I just pray that today's time in your word and time in your truth would be beneficial to us as we walk with you and as we try to mature in you and as we try to serve you and love you and get to know your word, share the gospel. Teaching and teachers, Lord, is so important, and I just pray that you'd be with us today, and may you just bless our fellowship today in your word, and may you be glorified ultimately in what we talk about. So we just give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, verses 1 and 2 in chapter 3. Next week, we're going to get into the tongue, which is the rest of the section here that goes through verse 12. But if you stop and think about it, James takes two different topics and ties them together. He ties teaching and the tongue together. And the simple reason I think that he does that is because what do teachers do? They talk. Okay? And so one of the big tools that teachers employ is the tongue. Okay? We're going to get into that quite a bit more. So, chapter 3. So he starts in a section by talking to and about teachers, and then you're going to see later next week that in the balance of the section, he really gets into parts of the tongue that apply to all of us and that we can all, you know, learn from. So there's a few things we're going to look at today in sort of this order. First of all, we're going to take a few general observations. Then we're going to say what Bible teachers are supposed to teach. Okay, and then we're going to say or look into why Bible teachers are held to a stricter judgment, which is a very, very sobering verse.
Amen.
We're going to look at how this applies to those who don't teach, because most people don't teach. So how does this apply to those who don't teach? And then lastly, we'll just look at some practical takeaways on what can we all take away, most of us who don't teach, from this section, and how can we actually benefit from this. So first of all, teaching is a very, very sobering and humbling task. If anybody here, you know, Bert teaches, Dave, I think you've taught a little bit, some others I think have taught, but if anybody here has taught the Bible, it's very, very humbling, okay? Sort of the way I describe it is it's like if you look at our world, we have, you know, God who is beyond our comprehension. He created this immense universe with thousands and thousands and thousands of galaxies and planets and stars and everything else. That's the mind of God. He created man. Man fell. Man chose to disobey God and actually obey Satan. God created a plan of redemption from the foundation of the world.
Right.
Okay? So none of this was unforetold to God. He knows all this. And when you stop and think about it, he went and he created what you have at your table, which is a miracle. Okay? The inspired word of God, written by about 40 authors over 1,500 years, three continents, masterfully woven together. Okay? And in this word, which is alive, and we'll get into that, but this word holds the gospel. This word holds the truth.
That's right.
So God did all this. He created the word of God, And now he takes it and he hands it into your hand as a teacher and says, go teach it. That will put you on your knees. Okay? You know, Paul wrote so much of the New Testament. David wrote the Psalms. Peter wrote the New Testament. You got John in the New Testament. You got all the words of Christ. And this book is handed into a teacher's hand, and God says, go teach it. That is very, very humbling. So teaching is not to be taken lightly, okay, by any means. You may think that that sounds like a tall order, and it's like, well, geez, you know, it's like you're painting this thing so grave that nobody's ever going to want to teach because it's just so sobering. It requires that.
That's right.
We do not need more people who approach the Word of God trivially, like it's just another book, and like we're doing a hotel seminar on positive mental attitude or whatever it is, or how to, you know, get your best life. We don't need that. What we need is people who tremble when they approach the Word of God. Okay? So very, very important. The other thing, too, is that when you're teaching the Word of God, it requires tons of commitment and time. Okay? There are people that I know that sort of shy away from teaching because of that serious commitment. It's extremely tasking to teach the Word of God, and it should be. You should treat it with that kind of reverence and that kind of respect that this is the Word of God Almighty. Okay? When I teach, to be very candid, one of the things that's a little bit of a burden on my back when I teach is I review what I'm teaching, because quite frankly, I don't want one word that I say to be false. I don't want one word that comes out of my mouth to be inconsistent with the Word of God. Okay? Two reasons for that. Number one, I want to feed the Word of God. I want, you know, people that are being taught to glean and gain from the Word of God. Number two, I don't want to mislead anybody. Okay? Whenever you're teaching the Word of God, there's theology and doctrine galore, and it's like, I don't want to mislead people. So I am that serious about when I teach, about what I'm teaching, which is why it takes time and time and time to review and review and review and all that stuff. The last thing I'll mention, too, is prayer. Trust me, people that understand the gravity of the Word of God and teaching it, they're on their knees. And I have been on my knees most of the time when I teach. I almost, on a very regular weekly basis, it's like I'm just asking God, please show me what you mean to convey in your Word.
Amen.
Show me what your Word means. What the truth is that people need to hear. That's what I'm praying for. Because I am just a guy. Teachers are just guys. Bert is just a guy. Okay? Well, okay, I know. So anyway, not to overdo that, but I'm just saying, first of all, that's just an observation about teaching. It's very, very serious, and we need to take it that way. And that's a little hint, by the way, for you who don't teach. If you do teach or you're thinking about teaching, please think about that. Second of all, if you don't teach, think of that as far as who you listen to, okay? Because who you listen to, I'm going to talk about in a minute here, who you listen to, you endorse, okay? So what Bible teachers are supposed to teach, okay? One obvious point, if you look at the text here, is he says, knowing that we shall incur a stricter judgment. If teachers are going to incur a stricter judgment, that sort of implies that God must have said somewhere, or plural, and shown teachers how and what to teach. Because they are going to be held. I will be held to a stricter judgment than those who don't teach. So one verse that really says this well, and I put it on the board here, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Whoever has that, please go ahead and read that, and read it loud so everybody can hear it.
I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths.
Right, so Paul's instruction to Timothy is preach the word, okay? And by the way, he said preach, not teach, but preaching and teaching are very similar. We won't get into the differences today, but preach the word, okay? So when God holds us to stricter judgment, what is one of the things that we have to do? We have to stick to the word, okay? Teach the word. Another really good, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, he says, for our exhortation, again, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, he says, for our exhortation does not come by, or come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts.
That's right.
For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Okay? We teach not to please men, but to please God. One little thread you're going to hear throughout this whole lesson is that very thing. We don't need to be dynamic hotshot speakers who are wooing people with our personality, okay? We need to teach and preach the word of God, and it needs to be done thoroughly with exegesis so people are actually gaining something that are filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? The other thing teachers can't do, and I'd like to hear some feedback on this, is we can't sit idly by while we have modern heretics rewriting doctrine.
Right.
Okay? One of the things teachers are tasked with is protecting the truth and conveying the truth. Okay? We live in a day and age where universalism is quite popular. Okay? There's no such thing as hell. Okay? Annihilationism. What are some other things you guys can think of? I mean, there's biblical illiteracy that's rampant. One of the things teachers need to do is help people try to get into the Word of God and understand it. Ecumenicalism. That's big today.
Amen.
We're all working on projects together and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we sort of take the Word of God and the gospel and go, we have differences. No big deal. What else can you think of? What else is going on today that is sort of heretical in the church that teachers need to expose and teach?
Prosperity gospel.
Prosperity gospel.
Joel.
Okay. Joel, it's a verb. Okay. Prosperity gospel. Yeah, and that can be detrimental. If people don't understand that, hey, God is not your divine butler, you've been misled. Okay? You didn't come to Christ to have Jesus just go, you're it, man. It's all about you. You know? Anything else?
Sin.
And what do you mean by that?
Just the suppression of the notion of a person being a sinner.
Yeah.
Which is the starting point for the gospel.
Yeah.
But that notion is very, well, I mean, who wants to be told they're depraved?
Right. And who wants to stand at a podium or stand in a pulpit and tell people that are supporting them, you're a sinner?
Right.
Yeah.
Or to go a little bit deeper than what Bert said is acceptable sins. It's like we categorically suggest that if you're doing this, that's obvious and blatant.
Yeah.
But if you're my friend and you're doing this small little thing, we overlook that.
Very good.
And that's where Satan creeps in at.
Yep.
So we have to be careful.
Absolutely. And by the way, on that note, that's one of the reasons why we need to have teachers and preachers do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because you touch on stuff that nobody wants to touch on. Okay? Just put it over there. Or give it to Kathy. So these are all things that teachers need to address, you know, to try to, protect the truth and convey the truth. Yes, sir.
The absolute exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the only way to the true and living God.
Yep.
All all other ways are satanic.
Yep. That's a good one. And so that gets to ecumenicalism. We have a lot of Christian religions and churches that all talk a good Jesus game, but if you really look under the hood, behind the curtain,
right.
It's not the Jesus of the Bible.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's what you're...
Jesus.
Yeah, Kevin.
The other one I see a lot is using Christianity or God as a get-out-of-jail-free. It's like, oh, I'm saved, but...
Easy believism.
Do what I want to do, right?
Sure. Easy believism.
Salvation.
No repentance. Yeah. So you guys get it. I mean...
One last thing.
She's like...
We like to shift responsibility because you're the teacher. It's only your responsibility.
Yeah.
But as followers of Christ, it's all of our responsibility
Amen.
To contend for the faith.
Right.
So.
Very good. Very good. Just as a quick, and I'll try to say this quickly and move on, but, you know, in fact, Kevin and Hannah, when they first came here, I think it was the first week they were here, after class, I was just talking to them to sort of get acquainted and say hi, and Hannah may not even remember saying this, but... okay. Then go ahead, fill them in. No. I was sitting there, you know, it's just small talk, getting to know each other. And Hannah said, very innocently, she looks at me, she says, why do you teach?
Ooh. Ow.
Penetrating question.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, that's one of those, like, stop you in your track statements, you know? And I don't know exactly what I told her. I don't remember, but
she does.
Can you tell me? but no, really. I mean, you know, I teach to take God's word to people. Okay, that's what teachers do. Okay, and to bring people to the God of the Word. Okay. That's what teaching is all about. It's not about a stand-up show. It's not about being cool. It's not about being liked. It's not about being funny, blah, blah, blah. I'm really bad at jokes, sorry. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's not what it's about.
Yeah, sure.
It's about taking God's truth and getting it out, okay?
You don't need a clown in the pulpit, that's what you're doing.
Thank you. 1 Timothy 1:5-7. Who has that? Go ahead and read it.
The aim of our charge is love. That issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they're saying or the things about which they make confident assertions.
Right, so there's two things going on in that section right there. The first thing I wanted to point out is the beginning of it says the aim is love, okay? Love is commitment, love requires work, and that's what's behind good teaching, okay, is love. 2 Peter 2, which is an awesome section here. 2 Peter 2:1-3, whoever has that, go ahead and read it.
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the ways of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping.
Right, so anybody who aspires to teach, just read that a little bit and marinate on that. You know? great verse of scripture. So what Bible teachers are supposed to teach is the Bible, okay, simply put. Next point, why Bible teachers are held to a stricter judgment. Can anybody here give me an example or thought or word or scripture on why you think it is that teachers are held to a stricter judgment? First of all, I would say this. Teaching is a gift. It's a spiritual gift, okay? But there's other spiritual gifts as well that do not receive stricter judgments. Why is teaching, the gift of teaching, and the person who teaches going to receive stricter judgment?
Because you have an impact upon their eternal destiny.
Yep.
If anyone leads one of these little ones astray, they'd be better if they were never born, right?
A millstone hang around their neck and cast into the sea, yep.
Well, just too, I mean, if you're up there teaching, saying one thing, and then people will see you out in the marketplace sinning, it, you know, makes God look bad.
bring shame to the name.
Yep, exactly. You guys just hit it right on the head. There's two main reasons. Is number one, you can lead people astray. Okay, if I have the spiritual gift of helps. Okay, and so I'm here doing whatever I do with helps. Okay, in the kitchen or whatever, and I get something wrong, it might not be that big of a deal. Okay, it's like I might be able to go back and clean it up or, you know, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. If I'm teaching doctrine and I'm teaching the truth, and all of a sudden you walk out of here thinking maybe there is more than one way, you know, maybe hell isn't for everybody, I am affecting your eternal destiny. Okay. Second of all, and I think Tony touched on this, is we don't want to be hypocrites.
Right.
Okay. If you look at Matthew 23, Christ just slams the Pharisees. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Blah 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 blah. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. It's like you say this, and you hold everybody's feet to the fire on this stuff, and you are three times worse. Okay. And what happens when we have hypocrites teaching and hypocrites preaching? To the lost mind, we discredit the Word of God.
That's right.
And we discredit the gospel. And by the way, I just have to say, and other teachers here don't have to chime in on this if they don't want to, but I got to tell you something. I'm a sinner. And this issue of not being a hypocrite is hard to deal with.
Amen.
There's quite often where I feel like a hypocrite. So what it does to the teacher is it keeps you on your knees and keeps you confessing sin because you don't want to be a hypocrite. Okay, Zula?
I have a scripture from Titus.
Go ahead.
Titus 2:7-8, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned.
Amen.
Right. So if you're sitting here and you're not a teacher and you don't teach and you don't believe you have the gift and you probably will never teach, you might be sitting here thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me. It's like, so this section here in James doesn't really apply to me. Okay, I'm not a teacher, I'm not going to be held to stricter judgment, etc. I would beg to disagree. Okay, here's why it's really important what's in this scripture if you don't teach. Because like I said earlier, who you listen to, you endorse. Who you give your time and attention to, you're endorsing. Okay? On that, somebody just read 2 Peter 2:3. In the King James, it says, they will make merchandise of you.
Right.
Okay? Bad teachers make merchandise of people. Okay? What does that mean in the King James? It means they're exploiting you or they're manipulating you. Trust me, there's a lot of teachers and a lot of preachers. There's that verse, I think, personally, is talking about money. They're extorting you, basically. But there's a lot of preachers and teachers who preach and teach not for the money, but to stroke their ego.
Yeah.
To stroke their pride. Okay? And the more you go, oh, you're great, you're dynamic, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like that's exactly what they want to hear. Okay? We don't need more of that. And if you are a listener or a participant in teaching and preaching from that side of the fence, you're endorsing who you're sitting there listening to. Okay? So just be aware of that.
That's why it's wrong. It's inappropriate to clap at the end of a sermon.
I tend to agree. Yeah. And lastly, on that note, teaching, and this was in that scripture that was read, man, I tell you what, if anybody here is aspiring to teach and you do it for the wrong motive, let me just give you a good little warning. Get out.
Amen.
Don't do it.
You will regret it.
You will regret it. Why? You are hijacking the Word of God for your own means. And God, as we've just heard in the scripture, is going to deal very severely with that. Okay? Who you listen to and who you give your time to is an endorsement. Okay? First Corinthians 2:4-5 in the King James, Paul said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? That is the kind of teacher that we need to listen to.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know about you guys, if you have one, raise your hand, but I tell you, there have been teachers and preachers that I have heard that aren't slick at all. They don't have a shtick. They aren't exactly GQ dudes. Nothing about them that stands out, but they teach or they preach. And I'm like, man, that is steak. It's like, why? Because they're filled with the Spirit, and they're speaking by the power of the Spirit, the Word of God, which is empowered by the Spirit. Okay? You can probably think, you probably think of somebody, a teacher you've had or a preacher or whatever, where you've sat there and said, you know what, that's a great example. This guy went through a scripture, and he wasn't, I'm not saying you have to be all boring and monotone, but he wasn't flashy at all. But the Word of God just came out, you know. So anyway, that's who you need to listen to. That's who you need to give your time to. Lastly, the content of good teaching is what?
Scripture. Say the least.
It's Scripture.
Right.
I love this verse. One of these days I'd like to do a lesson on this. Can you turn to Luke 24, verse 27? We don't hear this verse much.
I'm sorry, Matthew.
Luke 24, 27. And I'm going to read it to you from the New King James Version. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning you." No, the things concerning himself. Okay? You stop and think about it. What did he do? Number one, he used scripture, used all of scripture. Number two, what did he do with it? He expounded it. He wasn't a jokester. He expounded it.
That's right.
And what was the content? What was the point? What was the focus?
Himself.
All of Scripture expounded for Christ.
That's right.
Okay? That is what teaching and preaching needs to be focused on. There's another verse. I'm going to try to say this quick because we're going to be out of time. Isaiah, you can turn there if you want. Isaiah 55. Verses 10 to 12. I'm going to read it from you in the King James. It's just a beautiful description of this whole point that we're driving at here. Listen to this. He says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall not go out with joy, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands."
Amen.
That is a beautiful portion of Scripture. And if you notice what's sandwiched right in the middle of all that is what? "It will not return to me void." His word, in order to not return void, has to go out. Okay, if I waste your time with a whole bunch of stories and analogies galore and blah, 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 that don't focus on the scriptures, okay, his word is not being spoken, and therefore it can't not return void, okay? So you need to focus on the word. Teachers don't have to be all monotone, okay, and boring and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But at the same time, okay, I am a fan of promoting this idea. We need more teachers who teach the Word and less teachers who are all dynamic.
Right.
Okay? We can get that anywhere. You can go to a hotel seminar and hear lots of really good dynamic speakers, okay? What we need in the church is the Word of God. Okay? Tony?
Yeah, part of having the gift of teaching is being able to communicate and, in a sense, keep someone's attention.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, not be all silly.
Yep. And that was going to be my next point, and I'll wrap up with this. If a person has the gift of teaching, you don't have to worry about them being all boring. Because they will use, the scripture is the meat. The scripture is what will produce the fruit, okay? And they will use proper scripture reference, analogies, metaphors, illustrations, etc., that help paint the verbal pictures for students to hear the word of God and go, wow, that's awesome. You know? So again, the gift will bring that stuff out. And we don't have to worry about somebody in the human flesh being weak or boring. Lastly, and I need to move on because I want to get Jay up here on time. So go ahead, Jay. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. So all scripture. We focus on the second half of that verse. Sometimes I'm not even going to mention the second half of that verse. First half is, it's profitable for teaching. Another endorsement of scripture. So that's it. I have some other stuff here, but I'm going to go ahead and just bow out of that and let Jay come up and talk. But that's verse 1 and 2, talking about teachers and teaching. Next week we'll get into the tongue, which is the remaining verses in this section. And then we'll go from there. And by the way, next week is the last week of the book of James.